Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report Live. Glad to have you with us here on the Big X Sports Radio. We do this every day with lots of talk about IU and things relevant here in Southern Indiana. Good Wednesday program lined up. Let's jump right into the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on Wednesdays coming up in segment two, we've got Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Lots of stuff to get with Jeff on today. Obviously, his thoughts on the college basketball season as a whole, now that Villanova won the championship on Monday night over Michigan. We'll take a real early, some would call it a way too early look at the Big Ten Conference for next season. Kind of a tough thing to do at this date. Not only is it extremely early, it's really a tough thing to do until you get right up close to the season, to be honest with you. But there's so much movement in college basketball right now with a couple different things. Number one, a lot of guys declaring for a draft with an agent, meaning they're either a senior or they're going to forego any remaining eligibility that they have. Some guys declaring for a draft without an agent. So if they're an underclassman, which are the players that would do that, they get an opportunity to come back if they pull out by a certain deadline and return to their college program, their institution, their eligibility, everything's still intact. Then you've got graduate transfers. You've got just regular transfers going on where players not graduated but just deciding to leave a program because of playing time or coaching change or numerous different situations. So there's a lot floating right now as far as Indiana even is concerned, and also for the Big Ten Conference as a whole next season. But I thought it would be fun to take a real early look, and I think at first glance, just kind of looking at some notes for today, I think you'd have to give Michigan, even though they lose a couple key cogs from their runner-up team, I think you'd have to give them a real look at being perhaps on paper at least, at this early April date at least, probably the top nod in the conference for next season. So we'll take a look at that with Jeff when he joins us. We'll get into some recruiting stuff. Pro day for football was yesterday. I think 11 IU players. There were some other in-state football prospects of interest there from Indiana State and some other schools as well. So we'll talk a little football with Jeff. And then later in the program, Josh Cook sitting in today for Greg Mengelt from the News and Tribune sports team. With Josh, we'll kind of get his thoughts on the wrap-up of the high school basketball season. We'll talk about some of the national all-star games that Josh has been covering and following with Romeo's Langford's participation. Of course, the McDonald's game is in the book. That was last week. Hard to believe that was a week ago today down in Atlanta. And we'll talk about the Jordan Brand Classic game coming up on Sunday. Other things as well, trying to get spring sports off the ground. There was supposed to be the Jeffersonville Floyd Central baseball game last night. Of course, everything was pushed back last night because of some bad wind and weather that was expected. I think we got a decent amount of it, of what was forecasted. So that early season rivalry has always been a big barometer to see how those two local teams will do, two of the predominantly strong high school baseball programs. But that game obviously has been pushed back. I think it's going to be played tonight. There has been a location change, but we'll talk about the start of spring sports, at least the struggle to get spring sports off the ground here in Clark and Floyd counties when Josh joins us a little bit later in the program. That's a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. No earth-shattering headlines or items to talk about today, but a couple notes of interest. Number one, this has kind of quietly happened, with at least without me paying a lot of attention to it and not mentioning it on the program, but how about Thomas Bryant? He has had a heck of a solid year in the G League for the Lakers. It's the South Bay Lakers, the affiliate of the LA Lakers. 33 points, 5 rebounds last night for Thomas as he helped his team move on to the G League finals, the championship round of the playoffs in the G League. So he's continued to have a very solid season. He's had a couple opportunities to jump up with the Lakers for a game or two. And again, with that back and forth ability now for G League teams that have a direct and single affiliate in the NBA, it's been a great thing to help get some experience, even if it just practices when possible, when they've got an injury at his position or running short, whatever the case may be. And so, again, a great season for him. I think he's got a chance to move up into the NBA ranks at some point. We talked some about the movement in the Big Ten Conference right now, and it's really not just the Big Ten. It's across college basketball. Jaren Jackson, Tony Carr, among others, the couple Purdue guys declaring for the NBA draft. Latest to do so, as of yesterday afternoon, Wisconsin big man Ethan Happ. He is going to declare for the NBA draft as an underclassman, but will not hire an agent, meaning he could return to Wisconsin if he doesn't get some good communication and some good thoughts as he goes through some of the workouts and potentially gets a combine invite. So Ethan Happ, another name that could be gone, could be back next season in the Big Ten. And this isn't a Big Ten player, but it's someone that we sure spent a lot of time talking about when he was a senior at Indianapolis North Central, Chris Wilkes of UCLA. He's going to test the waters without an agent, declaring for the NBA draft. So it will be interesting to see if Wilkes, who had a great year at UCLA, even though the team didn't pan out to what I think some thought maybe they would, be interesting to see what type of interest he gets from NBA programs. One other thing, a graduate transfer, kind of I think Indiana fans may be expecting some news, maybe on a transfer, potentially a graduate transfer. You know, it would make sense that Archie would try to add someone for the team next year. And just a lot of names out there right now. No definitive front runners as Indiana for any of these guys that are listed as graduate transfers. But Trey Porter, he's at Old Dominion. He's going to be one of the more heavily pursued guys this spring as far as graduate transfers go. He's heard from Indiana. He's heard from Oklahoma State, Arizona, Georgetown, Murray State, Maryland, DePaul, and others since receiving his release from Old Dominion. So that's another name to kind of keep track of here over the next few weeks as some of the graduate transfer decisions are announced. One other thing, I know there's been some interest. I've heard a lot about it from some of you about the 30 for 30 ESPN documentary about Bob Knight. Everybody was looking forward to that. And it was announced just here over the last day or so that when it is released, you're not going to be able to watch it on ESPN on your television as far as your cable or satellite ESPN packages go, because it's going to be only on ESPN Plus, which is a new digital subscription of $4.99 a month that ESPN announced over the weekend, which it looks to me predominantly is going to carry a lot of lesser sports maybe that don't get the coverage on the national networks of ESPN, that, you know, soccer and even crazier sports like cricket and things like that. But they are going to put some documentaries and some special programming, and I'm sure that this will be the first of many really good feature-type things that typically would be big hits on ESPN or ESPN2 that they're going to push to ESPN Plus to help with the membership early on. But the Bob Knight documentary, the 30 for 30, I know everybody wants to see it, but you'll have to get ESPN Plus to have the ability to watch that. So that's a little bit of a buzzkill unless you're planning to get that. And this final thing I want to mention today is just kind of a off-the-wall thing, but I found this very, very interesting. You know, a lot of people think that college coaches, from the time they're hired, have about a three-season window to begin, at least, to build a program and turn things around. And that's, in many regards, you look at the number of recruiting classes they get to bring in and the amount of time they get to put in their systems, offense and defense, and just generally get a hold of the program. And I think 3 years probably sounds like a pretty fair number. But, you know, there's extenuating circumstances. It can take longer at times to turn things around, even if you're a great coach and even if you've got the right coaching staff in place and are putting in a ton of time and, you know, even getting some recruits, it can still take time. John Beilein of Michigan, he had a 46-53 record, so a losing record over his first three seasons at Michigan. And in those first three seasons, he reached only one NCAA tournament. Jay Wright was 52-46 at Villanova, so he had a winning record by just a handful of games and failed to reach the tournament in each of his 3 years. So if you just were going to gauge two of the national championship game coaches in Beilein and Wright, of course, Wright now has won two titles in 3 years. Their first three-year records, Wright had a winning record. Yeah, Beilein wasn't far from a winning record, but neither had really had any success to speak of. And nowadays, even just a handful of years after some of those guys got those jobs, a three-year window can make or break a coach. And so that's a very interesting stat, I thought, as far as those two national championship coaches go. What a season it was, and of course Villanova ran away with it in the championship game. Okay, the headlines are brought to you by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopster's your hometown sports grill. It's where fresh, made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around happens. Hoopster's has a karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights. They also have live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopster's in Jeffersonville. It's where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back here on a Wednesday show with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Jeff, always a little sad the day or two after the NCAA championship game, because even though Indiana wasn't in the NCAA tournament, didn't have any real postseason basketball after the Big Ten Conference tournament, it's just sad to know that all the basketball on TV is really going to stop or slow down, I guess, at least right now. And that's something we've got to deal with. But thankfully, there's guys like you and plenty of off-season topics and recruiting and AAU and everything else to stay in touch about here over the next couple months.
I'm with you. I remember when I was a kid, Tuesday after the Monday night championship game, I remember I was like, saddest day of the year, you know? And people would be like, what's wrong with you? You know, I'd be like, college basketball's over, man. That stinks, you know? Why is this dumb little kid bolting on a Tuesday?
I'm with you exactly. I'm curious your thoughts on Michigan this year, obviously. And I want to talk to you about a way too early look at the Big Ten Conference. I've seen some people putting out their prognostications on what, and there's so much movement right now with transfers and guys declaring for the NBA with and without an agent. But Michigan, talk a little bit about their run. Did that completely surprise you, or did you have the feel in New York City watching them play a handful of games and be very dominant there that they could make this type of NCAA tournament run all the way to the Final Four?
Well, I thought the way they played in New York, it gave you the sense that it was possible. You never really know with the NCAA tournament because of the bracket and how matchups work and things like that. But with the way Michigan played out there and the way their defense improvement, you know, kept getting better and better and better, that just gave you a sense that it was possible. I mean, I did not think that they were going to go to the Final Four, but I certainly thought they were going to go to the Sweet 16. You know, I think the way they brought in kind of like a defensive coordinator as one of their assistants after they had some movement on their staff, it was a terrific move. And that really changed a lot. I think, you know, they weren't in the top 60 in defensive efficiency any of the last 4 years, and they were top 20 this year. Now, part of that was a little bit, you know, some of the teams that they played in the Big Ten were a little offensively challenged. But still, to make a big move like that was pretty notable. But you know, I would say it was a surprising run. I had them pegged as a possible Sweet 16 team, but that was as far as I thought they would get.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Let me ask you, as far as the Big Ten Conference goes, and again, I know there are a lot of moving pieces right now with guys declaring for the NBA and graduate transfers, many of those still going to announce their decision on where they will go to that could greatly affect the things in the conference next year. Then you've got, you know, recruiting. A player like Romeo Langford could greatly increase Indiana's maybe preseason projections by some in the conference next year if he chooses the Hoosiers. But with all that being said, is Michigan maybe the top returning team in the Big Ten for the most part next year?
You know, I think they'll be pretty good. Obviously, a lot will depend upon, you know, if everybody comes back for them. But they certainly should open the year as a favorite. You also got to wonder a little bit about Minnesota and if everybody comes back and it's some of their off-court issues, legal issues, and other kinds of things like that. If those kind of are put to bed, you know, and Isaiah Washington, the point guard, comes back and is fully healthy. If Amir Coffey, you know, at 6'6", comes back and is healthy, they certainly have a lot of talent, too. And if you look around the Big Ten, you know, I think there's going to be some good teams. But right now, you don't look at anybody and say, wow, you know, that's a great basketball team. So I think some teams like Michigan and Minnesota, at least on paper right now, here the first week of April, certainly look like teams that are going to have a chance to win the league next year.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, here on a Wednesday edition of the program. For Indiana, there's a couple things I want to ask you about. Some of these have come up over the last few weeks, but it's probably time for an update. Number one, with all the players we're seeing declare for the draft, underclassmen, some choosing to go with an agent, which means they lose their eligibility, some without an agent, which means they could go through, theoretically, the NBA Combine if they get one of those very tough slots to get. It's a limited number of players that get that opportunity, although there are some other workout opportunities and opportunities also to speak with NBA personnel and kind of get a feel for things. With all that going on right now, it seems like every hour in the Big Ten Conference, at least every day, there's a couple new names that are going to announce or that do announce that they're going to give it a chance. When and do you think we'll see Juwan Morgan make that jump for Indiana?
I don't know if he's definitely going to do it. I know he's had some conversations with some people about the mechanism itself and how exactly it works and those kind of things. But as of right now, I don't get the vibe he's made a 100% decision one way or the other. I do think if he does put his name in, it would be a lot like Robert Johnson last year. You're doing it for information. Because to actually have direct conversation with NBA front office personnel or anything like that, you have to have your name in the draft. So you would have to technically declare for the draft to be able to get that direct information or to have direct contact. You can get information without declaring. With Archie Miller, and especially with the guys he has on his staff, Ed Schilling, Bruiser Flint, certainly know lots of NBA people. You can get feedback, but to have direct contact with NBA front office personnel or to work out for any teams or anything like that, you do have to actually declare. So that's why you see guys like Robert Johnson do it. Even though there's not an intent of leaving, there's a desire for information. But as of right now, I would say it's 50-50 whether he even puts his name in or not. It's certainly possible he still does. But, you know, he certainly got an option of getting some feedback and not declaring. But either way, at this point in time, unless something crazy changes, they're certainly expecting back at IU. I don't think there's a whole lot of question about that right now.
Gotcha. Jeff, IU's been mentioned with a number of graduate transfer players as well. I think the most recent was the player from that got his release from Old Dominion. Do you still expect someone, maybe in addition to, I know IU fans hope Romeo Langford in the 2018 recruiting class, but do you think it's possible there could be another new face on the roster next year in addition to potentially Romeo, whether it be a graduate transfer or whether it be another person that could be added to the 2018 class, whether, I guess, a junior college player or another high school senior?
Yeah, I do. I think even if IU does get Romeo Langford, I think there's a real chance there's a grad transfer addition as well. It's not definite because the grad transfer would have to definitely fit. But I certainly think two additions is more likely than zero additions. I'll put it that way. There's a number of grad transfers out there. A couple things. Well, first of all, the three transfers that I know that IU's talked to are Trey Porter from Old Dominion, Ryan Taylor from Evansville, and C.J. Walker from Florida State. Ryan Taylor and Trey Porter are both graduate transfers who would come in and play immediately wherever they land. C.J. Walker's a traditional transfer. He would have to sit out a year, then he'd have 2 years to play. Walker's the point guard from Florida State. Originally, I think a lot of people would recognize the name, played at Indianapolis Tech, was on their team that won a state title a few years ago. So those are the three transfers that IU's actually talked to. A lot of times you hear a lot of stuff on social media about interest or whatever, and I would caution people to be a little careful with that because a lot of times colleges, you know, a guy announces he's going to transfer, whether a traditional transfer or grad transfer, and a lot of schools will say, call his high school coach, call his AAU coach, just call to get background, find out what's going on. Not every call to get background is a school interested in recruiting that player. Sometimes they just want to figure out, okay, well, what's the deal here? Sometimes they say, well, that's a pretty good player, but we don't know him. Well, let's make some calls to find out. So not every call that's made is, oh, they're recruiting, you know, Matt Dennison. You know, they may just be calling to get a little background. So I do think you're probably going to see IU mentioned with a lot of players, but I don't get the vibe right now. IU is going to run around and offer a ton of scholarships to transfers. I think they're going to kick the tires on a lot of guys, but I don't anticipate a big group of guys out sitting out there with IU offers in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm joined by Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Jeff is with us Wednesdays here on the show. I'm going to go to Twitter for a second and go back to the NBA draft and players declaring for the draft. Just got a question. It says, ask Jeff his thoughts on former in-state product Chris Wilkes testing the NBA draft process. Your thoughts on Wilkes after his freshman year at UCLA? I know he announced he's going to test the waters. Is he a legitimate prospect to potentially get drafted in your eyes?
I mean, possibly. He's a guy for whom I think how he does in workouts, assume he does get invited to do some workouts, will probably determine a lot. I know several teams are interested in bringing him in for a workout because they've been calling around to do a pretty deep background on Chris. And that's a sign that, you know, they're probably going to get a workout. So there's at least three or four teams that are legitimately interested. But again, I think workouts, how he plays, in front of individual teams. We'll see if he gets a combine invite. But I think it's possible he gets drafted. But I don't think, you know, anything's definite right now. But I do think him putting his name in, that was pretty much the plan. I don't want to say entering college, but his camp had a very good handle on how this mechanism works and the fact that you can do it with no penalty. So I thought it was more likely than not that he at least put his name in. I'll put it that way.
Jeff, want to switch gears now, talk football with you. Pro day yesterday, 11 IU guys in pro day. There were some other in-state college football players as well that joined the guys in Bloomington. And again, pro day is, I guess, similar to kind of what we're talking about for the draft guys. It's an opportunity for them to work out. It's obviously guys that have expired their eligibility, but a chance to work out in front of pro guys and get some reviews on where they stand and where they go from there as far as their football career goes.
Yeah, it's a really good day. And anytime as an athlete you get a chance to, you know, to work out in front of the pro scouts is a really good opportunity. Nearly a dozen guys total were working out. Most NFL teams were were represented there. And I thought it was a pretty good day. Obviously Matt Weaver and Mike Pegram were down there for us to watch it all in person. And certainly, you know, there are a number of guys who really did a good job down there. T. Gray Scales certainly was among them, and several other guys. So I think it was definitely a good day for IU, and it's good publicity for a program too. You know, especially when you have, you know, that many guys, and you know, who who are out there. You know, Timmy Cobbs, T. Gray Scales, Rashard Fant, Ian Thomas, Chris Covington, Robert McCray, Greg Gooch, Tony Fields, Chase Dutra, Richard Lego, and Griffin Oaks, the kicker. That's pretty good to have that many guys out there. And I do think that IU's got a chance to have a pretty good NFL draft showing this year. Certainly, you know, Simi Cobbs, Ian Thomas, T. Gray Scales, and guys like that have gotten quite a bit of mention as probably being, you know, higher draft picks, you know, maybe second, third, fourth round kind of guys.
You know, if Indiana does have an opportunity, like you say, to have a good NFL draft showing, and obviously 11 guys from IU at their pro day yesterday, is that kind of a cautionary sign for IU football this next year that they're losing that many notable players, guys that have the chance and maybe a good number of them will play pro? Is that concerning for next year?
I don't know if it's really concerning for next year. I think because a lot of those guys were seniors anyway. I think Simi Cobbs was the only early entrant guy out there. But I think the biggest thing is it's something to it's a chip to use in recruiting if you have a good NFL draft day. You know, it's a chip to use in recruiting when you've got that many NFL scouts at your facility. You know, with all the things that teams can do as far as what they can send to players these days, you know, there's a lot of really good pictures and images of, you know, NFL scouts all over the place, watching guys work out, watching the testing, watching the drills. So in my eyes, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you can go to recruits and be like, yeah, you know, hey, you can get to the NFL coming through Indiana. Look at what just happened. You know, here's what our pro day looks like, those kind of things. So I think it's a really positive thing to have big groups like that.
Jeff, final thing I want to get your comment on as we have been through about every subject related to IU sports possible today, but it's that time of year. So women's basketball, what a day. Saturday they win the women's NIT. We know about the careers, obviously, of namely Tyra Buss, but also Amanda Cahill in the senior class. You want to talk about helping a program recruiting-wise and for the future, the run that Indiana put together in the WNIT with Terry Morin, the head coach, I think will pay dividends for that program for years to come.
Yeah, I totally agree. And normally, I think going to the NCAA tournament is a bigger deal than going to the NIT almost, I would say, 99% of the time. Well, I think this was one of the one percenters where being in the WNIT was a bigger deal for a couple of reasons. One, they ended up getting to play six games at home, and they won the thing, and they got quite a bit of buzz. And the other thing was the crowd swelled. You went from 5,000 to 6,000 to 7,800 and change, all the way up to 13,000 plus. And I'm still not convinced 13,000 wasn't a little shy, because that building holds 17,200 and change. And I had a hard time. I walked out there, you know, on the court about a minute before introduction, you know, so I can get a good view left and right of the balconies. And man, I was hard pressed to find 4,000 empty seats. So it was a really incredible atmosphere. You know, I honestly, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but I never thought I would see the day when you have 13,000 plus in Assembly Hall for an IU women's basketball game. But it happened, and it was great for the players. The fans were really into it, and certainly it was great for the program and for Terry Morin. And, you know, it was – they got a lot of buzz for that. I mean, it was one of the biggest crowds ever in WNIT history. It was the biggest crowd ever at Assembly Hall for a women's game. One other time did they even have 10,000 plus in there. And four of the top nine crowds ever in IU women's basketball history happened this past month during the WNIT. So that's definitely a real indicator of how much buzz and how much fans really kind of got into that run. And it certainly was a really appropriate send-off for Tyra Buss and Amanda Cahill. I think everybody knows Tyra Buss is IU's all-time leading scorer by a considerable margin. Amanda Cahill, my goodness, what a tremendous player. I mean, how many players are top 10, or actually I think she's now top 6 all-time at their school in scoring, rebounding, block shots, and made three-pointers? I mean, that is quite a...
Wow.
It's hard to think about, you know. She had quite a career. I mean, she really did. So, it did definitely, that run, those crowds, definitely created a lot of buzz for women's basketball for Indiana University.
Really interesting, too. Notre Dame obviously wins the NCAA National Championship. IU wins the WNIT. Down this way, the UofL women have been really, really good. And with who returns and who they have coming in, should continue to be one of the top teams in college basketball. But very interesting to see that kind of this area, and I'm sure there's some other schools you could include if you want to look at Indiana and the Midwestern part of the of college basketball on the women's side, but very interesting that it's kind of become a hub, a pocket for some of the great coaches and some of the great recruiting and some of the great teams in college basketball.
Yeah, it really is. And it was definitely, you kind of run that line down Notre Dame through IU on down to Louisville. You know, there's a stretch there where you've got, you know, three really good programs. And certainly Louisville has done a tremendous job with their program and what they've been able to accomplish. And I think with Indiana, you've got Allie Patberg, who's going to be playing next year. She was a transfer this past year, former Miss Basketball out of Columbus. She'll certainly be an impact player. You look at IU's freshmen, I had two freshmen who started and played quite a bit. So you've got players who, should be able to continue this kind of success. And certainly with what Muffet McGraw has done up at Notre Dame, I mean, they're a power, and certainly you would think they have staying power as well. So I don't think there's any question. I would be surprised, if Notre Dame doesn't remain who they are for the foreseeable future.
Jeff Rabjohn, Speaks.com. Thanks, Jeff, again for skirting through a number of topics with us today. And we got AAU and shoe circuits coming up soon. Other recruiting stuff, Romeo's decision coming up later in the month as well. So there's going to be plenty of stuff to address, and we appreciate you coming on today to go through a lot of different things with us.
Hey, Matt, I always enjoy it. My pleasure. Have a great week. We'll see you soon, my friend.
All right, appreciate it very much. Don't forget the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards are hot off the presses. This year's card includes Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these courses for under $20 a round with the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. Some of these courses are private. You can only play if you're a member or have the Big X Sports Radio golf card. There is a limited amount, so make sure you get yours today. Log on to BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457. Again, the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards, hot off the presses. We'll head to a break. We'll come back and talk some local things here in Southern Indiana with Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. He's in today for the sports editor Greg Mengelt. Looking forward to catching up with him about a handful of different topics. Stay with us for that next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here. Josh Cook of the News and Tribune sports team is with me in studio to talk about all the latest happenings in Southern Indiana. Josh, I know that McDonald's All-American game in the book, you were able to keep track of that with Romeo Langford in attendance. Now he's got two more of these national-type All-Star games forthcoming here over the next couple of weekends. The Jordan Brand Classic is this Sunday. The one I'm really interested in is the Nike Hoop Summit. It's the following week, I think on the next Friday, from this a week from this Friday. And it's kind of an interesting game. A lot of these games just pit the best players against the best players, and they might try to split them up geographically or in some cases not. But the USA Hoop Summit, or the Nike Hoop Summit, I should say, it actually puts the best kids in the country against the best kids, or at least a lot of the better international kids.
Yeah.
And it kind of, USA basketball's involved. You kind of sense a little more pride there in the game, other than just it being a national showcase that's on television. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it should be fun. The very first one I went to was maybe the very first one they had. I don't know. I think it was 2000 because Zach Randolph was playing in it. And the international team featured Tony Parker.
Wow.
So, you know, Tony Parker was like 17 or 18. I don't know. I can't remember exactly how old he was. But, you know, that was you know, you see those international players playing that game now, and it's pretty fun to see them.
Well, I was looking last night, obviously, Romeo Langford on the roster for that game, and some of the other big names that we've come to know in following Romeo on a national level. But the international roster's not out yet, which is not surprising. But it's one of those things, even if it was out, likely we're not going to know any of the names. But it's almost something you want to go back and look at previous international rosters, and you say, oh, wow, or yeah, this guy, or yeah, he ended up getting drafted right after this game. So, to me, that makes a little interesting twist that some of the other national All-Star games that these kids play in lack a little bit.
No, yeah, for sure. Like Andrew Wiggins, I'm sure played in this, or Jamal Murray, you know, from the Canada guys, I think have played in the international team for the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be a whirlwind for Romeo getting to travel. And I know the McDonald's game coincided with spring break for New Albany Floyd County Schools.
Yeah, that worked out well.
You go from that to the Jordan game and then the USA basketball event, I keep calling it that, the Nike Hoop Summit. That's 3 weeks of basketball travels essentially for him.
Yeah, and that's the Hoop Summit's not around the corner. It's not in Chicago or anything. It's in Portland, so that's going to be a long haul. I don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm sure he'll be there for a few days, so it's just I'm sure he'll make up the schoolwork and all that stuff, but that's just a lot of time to be traveling around and stuff.
And when all
tiring, I'm sure.
When all that is said and done, as far as from a local fan's perspective, the All-Star games are fun and it's neat they're on TV. But probably the biggest thing of all awaits Romeo when he comes back, and that's announcing his decision between Indiana, Vanderbilt, and Kansas, his final three schools. On that announcement, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could go with it if you're Romeo or you're the Langford family, but having it in the New Albany gym or in the New Albany community, no matter where he's going, I know a lot of people say, well, if he has it in New Albany, he must be going to Indiana, and perhaps that's the case and perhaps it's not, but I do think with the support that the community has shown New Albany basketball and Romeo Langford over the last 4 years, that allowing a lot of those fans to come back and in some small way be part of it is a really good look on Romeo's part.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. It'd be great to have it at the high school. You know, hopefully that's what they do, or, you know, maybe they do something else. I don't know, but we'll see. That's the one everybody's waiting for, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge announcement. I know you guys will have obviously full coverage of it, and everybody just waiting for a date. Some of the specifics, I think, is kind of the next thing that we're all waiting for. Josh, you're no stranger to high school sports, which is one of the things that I think has made you a natural in joining the News and Tribune team here over the last 3-4 months or so, covering the sports in the area, Metro Louisville, etc. But now that you are back full time in Southern Indiana, you're a Southern Indiana guy at heart. You came back at a good time to cover some basketball, at least in the area. What are your reflections, maybe? And I know Romeo and New Albany probably will be near or at the top, but other than that, there were some great teams, and I know you got a chance to cover a lot of the different storylines this past season. What are some of the things that you'll keep with you from this 2017-18 high school season?
Well, definitely, you know, obviously New Albany's run, all that kind of stuff, and the way it ended, of course. So that'll be seared in everybody's mind around here probably for a while. But, you know, also on the girls' side, too, the Jeff girls, the way they lost was very similar. You know, lost in the sectional on a last-second shot in what double overtime it was. So, I mean, there were some great games and some great teams. You know, you can't not talk about the Floyd Central boys and the season they had and you know, all the other teams that, you know, that had good seasons, too. It was definitely fun to be back. And, you know, because being over in Louisville and going to those games for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, whatever it's been, you just don't quite get the crowds that you do over here. And it's just interesting to see.
It is interesting because there have been some great Ballard teams mm-hmm. and some great Trinity teams. And I'm missing a few, but there have been over the years, and I'm going back into the 90s even, you know, the early to mm-hmm. mid-90s, some big-time recruits have come out of Louisville. And as good as those, and I've wanted to go, so I got to go see this team or I got to go see this player. As good as they have been on the court, the off the court stuff just isn't the same.
No, it's not. I mean, you'll get big crowds for like Mayo Manual, you know, those kind of rivalries. But yeah, it's just not quite the same. You know, you'll go to just a regular Tuesday night game, there'll be a couple hundred people there. So
absolutely. Talking with Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. Josh covers sports and filling in today for sports editor Greg Mengelt, who's typically with us Wednesdays on the program. Switching gears completely, we're trying to get spring sports off the ground. And a little sidebar to that, Thursdays we'll be talking some high school sports and high school baseball specifically each week on the program. And Chris McIntyre, the New Albany baseball coach, will join us tomorrow on the Hoosier Report as we'll talk with all of the local baseball coaches and previewing the season here over the next 2-3 weeks. But with that being said, getting on the field has been very difficult. Chad Gilbert came on earlier this week. He said it was an athletic director's nightmare, all this weather and rain and even some snow, I think, expected again later this week, which just made for a crazy-type environment. But like to think that we, in the next week or so, could get a handle on some of the good baseball teams. I know we're going to have some good teams in the area, but, you know, big game like Jeff Floyd Central last night, it was moved to tonight, and it might still be up in the air for tonight even. It's taken a while to kind of figure things out here because can't get on the field and play.
Yeah, this weather has been ridiculous, really. Where's the dome? When are they going to start building that? We just need one for everybody to play in. But, yeah, Jeff Floyd Central is supposed to go on tonight. We'll see. I'm sure it'll be a balmy 35 for the first pitch. Mm. We'll see, but yeah, it's been hard to get a handle on. About the only team that's played has been Silver Creek, and they had a couple big wins. They beat Trinity the other night on Monday night. You know, Trinity was ranked number 4 in Kentucky. So, you know, they're about the only one who's played more than one game at this point.
And I mentioned that game on the radio as kind of a, hey, look and see. I told you Southern Indiana baseball is going to be good again this year. Silver Creek beat Trinity. I said erroneously that the game was at Trinity, thinking it was on their – turf field perhaps, but the game was actually at Silver Creek. So how in the world they got that field ready to play with what we've been going through weather-wise over the last couple weeks, hats off to them. But once it all settles down weather-wise, I think we're going to be in for some really good baseball, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone because as good of basketball seasons as we've had with Romeo and New Albany leading the way and a lot of the other storylines we've already talked about on the hoop side of things, baseball's been really good the last couple of years here, too, and I don't think that's going to change this season.
No, definitely not. I know Silver Creek's still ranked in 3A, and I just saw yesterday that Providence has moved into the top 10, and Jeff's in the top 10 in 4A, and I believe Borden was preseason number 9 in single A, so, yeah, a lot of good teams.
Absolutely. We're going to head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more from Josh Cook with the News and Tribune right here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back to wrap things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. I'm joined in studio by Josh Cook of the News and Tribune sports team. And, Josh, I've said this a couple times on the air. I had a couple people after yesterday's show say, man, you seem really down about the end of basketball with high school and college stuff over. But a lot of stuff still going on, and obviously we'll move into that here over the next couple weeks. But the championship game on Monday, it's always fun, the build-up, the feature-type things on players. It maybe didn't on the court live up to what you would hope that it would. Villanova was dang good. I mean, they just shot it so well and had so many weapons. But you mentioned something when you came in today that this is the anniversary day of your favorite NCAA championship game.
Yes, 1983 NC State over Houston. That was really kind of the launching point for me. I mean, I just kind of fell in love with college basketball at that point. I hadn't seen the 1982 championship game, which was the one Michael Jordan hit the shot in for North Carolina over Georgetown. But 83, it was just kind of the year I was just head first into college basketball. And, you know, 83 was also the dream game, Kentucky and Louisville in the Mideast Regional Final. And then, you know, I was all in with the Final Four, Louisville-Houston in the Five Slam-a-Jamma, one of the best semifinal games of all time. And then the championship game was just unreal. NC State and Houston, you know, NC State ran with them the first half, and the second half played with them. And then Lorenzo Charles with a dunk at the buzzer. This unbelievable.
And, of course, the clips of Jimmy V are played back. It not even doesn't even have to be during tournament time. You can find that clip as part of a commercial or a promo or somewhere. It's something that I think is ingrained to even young kids
today
are familiar of that because of that clip there at the conclusion of the game. But, Josh, thanks for being with us today. You and Greg will be with us, I know, through the spring sports season. It's always fun to give some love, to give some publicity to some of those kids and teams and coaches.
Right.
We talk about how good the baseball is. Softball's been really good in the area. Some other spring sports as well. So we'll be talking about those athletes and storylines just like we have all the other sports in coming weeks with you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That's going to wrap it up for today. Don't forget we do this weekdays, 11 a.m. and the replay at 3 p.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. You can also catch the podcast, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Look us up at Apple Podcast as well. I'll catch you tomorrow right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.